Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. All right, today is Wednesday the 10th. This will be the last episode before I take a little break, step away from the mic and from work and the cold, and get to somewhere warm for a week. So thank you for being willing to let me go for a few days. I should start posting again in about a week, I think next Thursday. On Monday, we had an episode on scientific reticence and on this idea that, in fact, we could be headed towards 3C, above the baseline by 2050. That's a short 25 years away. We are undoubtedly already seeing so many of the signs of a warming planet, including, and perhaps most frighteningly, the breaching of tipping points and the crossing of planetary boundaries. In that episode on Monday, we talked about how there's kind of a stark difference between the things that are talked about in our collapse, right? The intensity at which there's kind of this consensus here that things will happen, the rate at which things will happen, and that which is commonly talked about from a scientific perspective, at least in the mainstream. In that episode, we broke out one specific example of a couple of scientific institutions who are going against that consensus and trying to speak more candidly. Today, we've got more of that. But before diving into those articles, which, by the way, came from more scientific institutions along with some actuarial science. So these are risk assessment folks, typically used in like the insurance industry for gauging future risk, what insurance rates need to be, those types of things. And so it comes from more of a risk assessment standpoint or viewpoint, which I think is really important because they are using these data points to drive policy in the future. And if we can't always trust that climate scientists are going to give us the blunt truth, when it comes down to protecting assets and protecting money, actuaries are where we can turn. Yeah, we'll look at that. But there's an article I'm going to read from first. This was a newly released article by Christopher Ketchum on a site called counterpunch.org. Ketchum is an author and journalist. He writes mostly on his Substack, but he also writes for various organizations like Counterpunch. And he writes primarily about the happenings in the American West. He's the author of a book called This Land: How Cowboys, Capitalism, and Corruption Are Ruining the American West. So this article he has titled, 2 Billion Dead at 2 Degrees Celsius Warming? I like this article. He went into sort of the culture of the subreddit R Collapse, and I thought he had some interesting insights. So I'm going to read from this first, and then we will jump to a couple of these articles that he is quoting from here or that he's referencing in regards to his sort of question here of whether we will have 2 billion dead from 2 degrees Celsius warming. So the article starts by saying, doom scrolling, an addictive habit can be destructive if not managed. The way an alcoholic, say, manages drinking herself to death. It must be done with care, with binges considered for the long haul. Overindulging may be detrimental to your mental health, warns the doom scrolling subreddit, R Collapse. Anxiety and depression are common reactions when studying collapse. If you are considering suicide, and he notes that this may end up being one of the mantras of the era of modern civilizational crackup. He goes on to quote a post from the subreddit. It was one person's view on how they thought the future might play out, and quotes that person as saying that maybe typing this whole thing out will be therapeutic. I'm not going to go through, he quotes basically the entire post. It is a very pessimistic or depressing take on what the future is going to look like. In my opinion, it might be a bit more pessimistic, I think, than I view things, at least in the timeline that it had typed out. But that's not what's important. I like what he said after. He says, the writer talks about typing the whole thing out as a form of soothing. Collapsitarian culture is an outpouring of grief, an expression of existential distress over ecological disorder. Psychologists have come up with a term for this type of grief, solastalgia, a mourning for the perceived disappearance of the normal, stable, healthy, natural world. The precise definition is the distress that is produced by environmental change impacting on people while they are directly connected to their home environment. Nostalgia we know well. It is the pain when we are away from the familiar, uprooted from home ground. Solastalgia is the pain when home collapses around us, home being all of Earth, a total falling apart, the thing we most fear. He says it may be that solastalgia, a hypersensitivity to the threat of collapse of the only home we know or will ever know, is a necessary condition for humanity's long-term survival. Collapsitarians are ahead of the curve in feeling deeply the pain of ecological crisis and seeing with not entirely clear eyes, but with eyes wide enough, the existential nature of the crisis. If the most extreme among them sound like mad prophets, then we who deny the seriousness of the crisis, who think everything's going to be all right by our embrace of an unfounded optimism, are the deceivers. From the actual scientists on the doom scroll, one gets the sense that the end of business as usual is built into our current trajectory. The late Will Steffen, who was one of Australia's top climate scientists until his death in 2023 at age 75, remarked that as industrial society has already passed 9 of 15 Earth system tipping points, this could set into motion a process at the end of which collapse of civilization is the most likely outcome, end quote. He then gives a sampling of the types of things that are posted in the subreddit and some quotes from various scientists. So I'm going to kind of read through these sporadically. He talks about an uncharted future in Australia's oceans where two of three corals in its World Heritage listed Ningaloo Reef now dead, while the country's possums show some of the highest levels of PFAS chemicals to be found in small mammals. Talks about coral species off the Florida coast that are functionally extinct. A third of British farmers made no profit in the past year, facing extreme floods and droughts that have led to some of the worst harvests on records. Deadly floods in Mexico, Nepal, and Vietnam. Carbon emissions hitting peaks in 2025. And scientists writing in the journal Bioscience Report, "We are hurtling toward climate chaos. The planet's vital signs are flashing red. This unfolding emergency stems from failed foresight, political inaction, unsustainable economic systems, and misinformation. Almost every corner of the biosphere is reeling from intensifying heat, storms, floods, droughts, or fires. The window to prevent the worst outcomes is rapidly closing." He then talks about doom scrolling as a historical record-keeping. He quotes Paul Ehrlich, Chris Hedges, the Pope. From the Pope, he says, this was Pope Francis in 2015, "Doomsday predictions can no longer be met with irony or disdain." He talks about Chris Hedges, who tells us that you have to have lived in societies that have collapsed to realize how quickly they go down and how fragile they are. There's an emotional incapacity to understand collapse, even when it's facing you. All right, now on to the title where he talks about a 2 degrees Celsius rise and the 2 billion potential deaths to come from it. He says, "The depth of the extreme risk humanity now faces was made clear by actuaries and climate scientists partnered at the University of Exeter in a report issued this year. The members of the university's School of Actuaries included advisors to governments, corporations, and pension and sovereign wealth funds. Traditional risk management techniques, they wrote, typically miss network effects and interconnections. As a consequence, policymakers are likely to significantly understate the potential impact of climate and nature risks, or an environmentally insolvent Earth." What did the actuaries say about our current trajectory? A 2 degrees Celsius rise by 2050, which is now credibly forecast, could see a 25% drop in world GDP, an economic depression the likes of which the world has never seen, as global trade crashes to a halt and national economies shatter. For context, world GDP fell during the Great Depression by an estimated 15% between 1929 and 1932. They projected a catastrophic disruption of food supply as large parts of Earth become uncultivable and uninhabitable, with the result that some 2 billion people could die on a 2 degree Celsius warmed planet. Quote, "Mass mortality, mass displacement, severe economic contraction, and conflict," end quote. The expected new normal at 2C, according to the Exeter team. If the course towards 3C is unchanged, our civilization risks suffering and death on an unprecedented scale. 4 billion dead between 2060 and 2090, along with a 50% drop in world GDP. The actuaries noted that no realistic plan is in place to avoid this scenario. He ends the article by saying, which is all to say that the mad prophets are not so far off from a plausible vision of what's to come. And those mad prophets, again, he's referring back to people on the R Collapse subreddit, and specifically the scenario that he had read out by one commenter there. All right, so with that, let's jump really quickly into a couple of these other articles. One is the actual, it's from actuaries.org.uk source. This is from earlier this year, January of 2025, so nearly a year ago now at this point. And I'm just going to read a few points from this. I'm really just looking at the summary here. I think there's much more of it to go into. They titled it Planetary Solvency, Finding Our Balance with Nature. It's their fourth report in collaboration with climate scientists. Quote, you can't have an economy without a society, and a society needs somewhere to live. Nature is our foundation, providing food, water, and air, as well as the raw materials and energy that power our economy. Threats to the stability of this foundation are risks to future human prosperity, which we must take action to avoid. Widely used but deeply flawed assessments of the economic impact of climate change show a negligible impact on GDP, rendering policymakers blind to the immense risk current policy trajectories place us in. The risk-led methodology set out in the report shows a 50% GDP contraction between 2070 and 2090 unless an alternative course is chartered. That is a quote from Sandy Trust, who was a lead author and IFOA council member. Now, they've got a summary risk outlook as part of this, and it goes as follows on the idea of 2C by 2050. Economic contraction, GDP loss of over 25% by 2050, mass human mortality events resulting in over 2 billion deaths, breakdown of some critical ecosystem services and earth systems, major extinction events in multiple geographies, ocean circulation severely impacted, severe socio-political fragmentation in many regions, low-lying regions lost, heat and water stress driving mass migration of billions, and catastrophic mortality events from disease, nutrition, thirst, and conflict. These scientists, these actuaries, are predicting collapse. I'm not sure what other way there is to put that. We define collapse in many different ways, but one of which is a rapid and sustained decline in population, socio-political complexity, or economic complexity over a considerable area for an extended time. And I'm not sure that what these actuaries have described could be considered anything but that. Ketchum's article talks about how 2 degrees Celsius is basically the accepted forecast among mainstream scientists at this point by 2050. And I have a very hard time believing that we will not have hit 2 degrees Celsius long before then. Now, we've talked about in the past how it's frustrating that the IPCC views this over a longer time scale, right? They take the 20-year average, which when you're looking at things over long time scales, that makes a lot of sense. When we have such a rapid increase, by the time we hit 2 degrees Celsius over 20-year average, we could be hitting annual numbers of 2.5, of 3. If the sort of cascading and runaway effects of tipping points, feedback loops, etc., take place, by 2050, maybe we're just approaching the 20-year average, which even that I feel like we could breach much earlier, but we could be hitting annual numbers much higher. One thing to point out is that talking about the degrees Celsius over the baseline in some ways is an effective method of sort of calculating what the future will be like, but only if you can actually accurately describe the consequences of hitting that point. The temperature above the baseline itself is not really what's important, right? What's important is the effects it has on the Earth, on ecosystems, on biodiversity, on animal life, on our lives, right? Which we are animals. And I think we forget that sometimes, by the way, that just like an animal population dies off when its surroundings can no longer meet its needs, often due to things like climate changes or changes to the environment in general, we are the same way. Simply, we've added technology to the mix, we've added complexity to it. But in the end, that makes it even more fragile. We are more sensitive to changes in the climate, to changes in those technological processes, in those complex supply chains. This article and much of the other research that's come across lately is a stark reminder, especially as on the podcast itself, we're doing these daily episodes. We're getting more and more a little bit, you know, into the weeds because we're talking about day-to-day changes and how we're seeing collapse play out today. So this is a reminder of a little bit more of the macro view and where we're headed. We talk about catabolic collapse. We talk about the restraints on energy. We talk about the financial system. And all of these things are elements of the system that have sort of locked us into eventual collapse. You cannot grow infinitely on a finite planet. So those things tell us that there is an end to growth. Catabolic collapse tells us one way in which collapse takes place, how it will most likely take place. And you can listen through any of the 180 or so researched episodes that Kellen and I did on different aspects of collapse, from topics as broad as biodiversity loss to as specific as peak phosphorus, right? Or changes to the AMOC, or the reliance that we have on air conditioning units. I mean, there's so much you could look at on the micro. But when you zoom out and you read articles like this, and you see in some cases where the scientific reticence is starting to melt away, there's more evidence and frankly less ability to deny the future that we're heading towards, it becomes more and more clear every day that in the end, climate change is this massive looming storm that's been slowly heating up, slowly mounting over the last several decades, but that's starting to spill over. This is not a linear change. We are in the decades right now of that exponential change beginning. We're in that time where tipping points are surpassed. We're in that time where feedback loops really begin. 1.5 is a foregone conclusion. We are barreling towards 2, likely to have breached that, in my opinion, sometime in the 2030s. And like the scientists that we talked about on Monday, heading closer towards a world of 3 degrees Celsius warming by 2050, which according to these actuaries results in the deaths of 4 billion people. That's half of the human population. All right. Anyway, I know, sorry, not fun stuff, but I guess what on this podcast could you really consider fun stuff? One of the most interesting aspects of the future is going to be seeing how people react as scientists come out of their shells more, as this becomes more and more undeniable and becomes more widely reported. My guess is it will be reacted to, on the most part, with denial. That's what we've seen up to this point with the limited amount of reporting and realistic reporting on this. It's techno-optimism, it's AI will save us, it's Elon Musk will take us to Mars or whatever. But I do believe that it will continue to grow. The awareness will spread. And when more and more people, if they'll trust the scientists, hear things like 4 billion people will die as we head towards 3 degrees Celsius, and as we get closer and closer to 2050, and as that becomes more and more apparent, that's where we're headed, what will the reactions be? Will governments take any action? So far, they've made promises, but they're under-delivering. Will people make changes? Some people today make changes, but it's not near enough. And will it all be too late? The likely answer is yes. We will get to experience governments trying to do things as a last-ditch effort, like geoengineering. We'll experience empires dying, countries lashing out against each other, mass migrations in the billions, and the responses of nations and people to that. It is truly something that I think is unprecedented in the human experience. Yes, humans have lived through some very terrible things in the past. There have been collapses of societies over and over again. People have lived through terrible conditions and died in terrible conditions. We are very lucky today, extremely lucky, to live in the unprecedented times that we do with the comforts and everything that we have. But the fall will also be unprecedented because we've risen to such high heights. All right, thanks for being here. See you in a week or so after I'm back from vacation. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.